I really, really do love the Psalms. I've been a Christian about 10 years, and the longer I've been a Christian, the more precious they've become to me. And one of the reasons that I love the Psalms so much is because they contain the full range of emotion and experience. There are Psalms that are full of joy and ecstasy, but then there are also Psalms that are full of mourning and lament and groaning. There are Psalms for when life is on a high and it couldn't get any better. And then there are Psalms when we are down in the dumps, even depressed. Psalm 88, for instance, finishes with the psalmist saying, "Darkness is my closest friend." Many of the Psalms are written with laughter on the lips of the psalmist, but whilst others are written soaked in tears. And it means that however we're feeling, however our life is going, however we're doing this morning, there are psalms that speak into our situation and help us to express how we are feeling to God. It's the amazing thing of the Psalms. God, who inspired them, gives us the words so that we can speak back to him, so we can sing back to him. Well, this morning's psalm that I've chosen for us to look at is one for those times in our lives when we are down in the depths. Just have a look at how the psalmist, what he says in verse 25. Look how he starts this section. The psalmist says, "I am laid low in the dust." Again, verse 28, "My soul is weary with sorrow." Literally, my soul is melting away with sorrow. You see, the psalms are great because they are realistic about life. The psalms never pretend that being a Christian is all sort of skipping through the meadows on a beautiful summer's day. No, they recognise the fact that there are times when we find ourselves, like the psalmist, face down in the dust. And there are times when we feel like a boxer who has been floored to the canvas and we have got no strength to get up. Or like he says in verse 28, times when, as it were, we feel like an ice cube melting in an oven. And maybe that is how you feel this morning. Maybe you come, and as you were coming in, people asked you how you were doing, and you said, "Fine." But deep down inside, you're thinking, "No, I'm not. No, I'm not." And actually, maybe you feel like the psalmist here, down in the dust with just nothing more to give, no strength, no energy, no fight left. And maybe you feel floored by what's going on for you at work at the moment. And maybe you're having a really hard time there. If you just look back to verse 23, it seems that the psalmist was down in the dust because of those above him, those in authority over him. And maybe for you, you're feeling down in the dust because of the pressure and the stress that you are getting from your boss or your colleague at work. And they have just worn you down and you feel like you have nothing more to give. You feel like giving up. For others of us, as we've been praying this morning, it will be our health that's leaving us feeling down in the dust. That gradually, as our bodies weaken and become more fragile, we just feel like we are face down in the dust, broken on our knees. For others of us, it might be family that, quite frankly, have just left us worn out after this week. Just one more demand too many, and we're feeling broken. We don't feel like we can keep going. For others of us, it will be at school or college and the pressures and demands that come at this time of year with exams and deadlines. And again, we're just feeling like we're crawling through the dust on our hands and knees, barely able to keep going from one day to the next. At some point or other in our lives, all of us find ourselves there, don't we? There are many ways there, but the feeling is the same. That feeling of being down in the dust with a face full of sand. And so what do we really need when we are laid low in the dust? That's our question this morning. Whether we're there at the moment, or we have been there, or we will be there in the future, what do we need? If you're there this morning, what is it today that will lift you up and get you walking again? The world has got millions, probably, of suggestions. Many of them would revolve around the idea of pleasure. Go after pleasure. Throw yourself into it. Book a holiday. Have a night out. Throw a sickie. Just have a day off work, whatever it might be. But this morning, the psalmist, writing thousands of years ago and yet so relevant for us today, it's as if the psalmist draws alongside us and he gets down in the dust with us. He gently lifts our heads and he says to us, you know, I've been there. I know what it feels like. I know that experience. Let me tell you what you really need. Let me tell you what helped you. And very simply, it is two things this morning. Two things that come out of this psalm. What do we need when we're down in the dust? God's word and God's grace. When we're down in the dust, we need God's word and God's grace. First, God's word. And we need God's word because God's word gives life and strength to the crushed and the weary. That's there, verses 25 to 28. The psalmist is down in the dust. And so it's no surprise that he prays for life and for strength. Again, just have a look at verse 25. He says, I'm laid low in the dust. Preserve my life according to your word. Again, verse 28. My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your words. Let's be honest, lots of people, when they're down in the dust, pray like this, whether they claim to be Christians or not. Lots of people pray like this, but they don't pray with confidence. They'll pray, help God, you know, give me life, give me strength, help me out. But not with any confidence. For some, they're not really sure that God is there, but they pray anyway because, well, they're just kind of conditioned from their upbringing. And even if they aren't, even if they think he is there, they aren't sure that he can actually do anything. And even if they think that he can do something, they're not sure that he will do something. But did you notice when the psalmist prays to God for life and for strength, he prays with confidence, with certainty. But why? Why on earth can this guy be so confident? Well, because God has promised to give his people life and strength. Have a look again at verses 25 and 28 and see if you can spot that. There's a repeated phrase. He says, I am laid low in the dust, preserve my life according to your words. Or again, verse 28, my soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your words. As we've been celebrating this morning, God is not silent. He makes promises to his people, and he does it in the Bible. And the psalmist knows his Bible. He knows what God has promised. And so as he prays, he is claiming the promises that God has made to his people. A bit of a silly illustration, but I thought of it this week. If you frequent the famous Scottish restaurant, McDonald's, you'll know that recently they've been doing this kind of competition offer all to do with Monopoly. And every time you buy something, you get these stickers. And some of them, they are different prizes you can win, from really nothing up to sort of hundreds of thousands of pounds. Well, Anna and I and Ben went when we were up in Sheffield a few weeks ago, and we got these different stickers. And so this one here promises me that if I go back to a McDonald's and present this little sticker before the 13th, so that's not very long, then I will get a free medium soft drink of my choice. Ooh. Slightly less exciting for me is this one that we got, which says, again, if I present it before the 13th and before 10:30 a.m, I get a free hash brown. And frankly, if you want that, you can have it, because I don't. And even less exciting for me, again, this one says I can win free porridge. And that one's something else altogether. Now, if you go into McDonald's with your hash brown thing, wherever it is, and present it to the young, spotty 16-year-old behind the counter on Monday morning, you are not simply hoping that you've caught them at a generous moment and that they might just be in a nice mood and randomly give you a free hash brown. No, McDonald's has made a promise to you that it will give you a free hash brown. And so as you go in there on Monday morning, you are going to claim a promise that they have made. Well, in a much more serious way, that's what the psalmist is doing here. God has made a promise in his word, and the psalmist is claiming it in his prayer. Martin Luther, the German reformer, described prayer as throwing God's promises back at him. That is what we do when we pray. When we meet on a Tuesday evening to pray, when we pray here on a Sunday morning, when we pray on our own, we are throwing God's promises back at him. He makes promises and we claim them. We are asking God to do what he has said he will do. And so when the heat is on, when we're face down in the dust, we can claim God's promises. But when we're face down in the dust, when the heat is on, it's not simply enough for us to have God's word up on a shelf. You know, the kind of family Bible hidden out the way with the gathering dust. And can I say, it's not even enough just to have it open on our laps like we've got this morning. No, when the heat is on, God's word needs to be written on our hearts. We need to have internalized it. We need to know it. When the heat is on, it's too late to start cramming God's word like a student the night before an exam. Again, slightly trivial illustration, but for those who've had children, you'll know this experience. We found it quite painfully with Ben. When a new baby comes and it's all the stress and the heat and the pressure, it's no good at that point trying to find out what you need to do. You need to have prepared beforehand. You need to have at least thought beforehand which way the nappy goes on before you're presented with a kicking, screaming, weeing, pooing on themselves baby. Again, you need to have an idea how to make up the formula milk if that's what you're doing. You need to know how to bathe them beforehand, because when the stress is on and you're sleepless and you've got no idea what your name is, well, it's too late, as I speak from personal experience, to know. It's no good cramming then. And so it is with God's word. When the heat is on, when the pressure comes and we're down in the dust, that's too late for us to be running to God's word. No, we need it in our hearts beforehand. Because if God's word is in our hearts, then as we pray, God's promises will be on our lips. Just like the psalmist is here. The picture you get of the psalmist is someone who has been meditating, who's been delighting on God's words long before trouble has come, so that when he's down in the dust, he just naturally claims those promises of God. So God promises people life and strength. But how? How is God going to do that? How is he going to give us life and strength? Well, look at what the psalmist says in verses 26 and 27. He says, I recounted my ways and you answered me. Teach me your decrees. Let me understand the teaching of your precepts. Then I will meditate on your wonders. You see, God's word isn't just where God promises his people life and strength. No, God actually gives his people life and strength through his word, the Bible. That's why the psalmist prays the way that he does. God's word gives him life and strength because as God teaches the psalmist his word, look what the psalmist does in verse 27. Let me understand the teaching of your precepts, then I will meditate on your wonders. Now, nowadays, when we think of meditation, and because of Eastern philosophy, we tend to think that meditation is all about emptying your mind. Clear your mind, get rid of everything from your mind. But actually, for a Christian, it's the complete opposite. As Christians, meditation is about filling our minds. Not with the football results or stuff like that, but filling our minds with God's words. or as he puts it here, filling our minds with God's wonders. Filling our minds with the wonderful things that God has done for us, as he tells us in his words. And now, remember, the psalmist is writing before Jesus. So that means for the psalmist, when he talks about God's wonders, he's thinking of things like the Exodus, when God rescued his people from slavery in Egypt, brought them out of Egypt through the Red Sea, how he kept them in the wilderness and the desert and led them into the promised land. And yet for us now, today, we've got even more wonderful things to fill our minds with. We can fill our minds with how God sent his son to die for us. We can fill our minds with how Jesus didn't just come into this world to experience the dust and the pain of this world, but how he actually died in our place. That he ultimately went down into the dust of death for us, dying the death that we deserve. And we can fill our minds with how he rose from the dead, how he rose from the dust of death, and is now glorified and seated at the Father's right hand, ruling over all things for his people. We can fill our minds with how we used to be spiritually dead in the dust of our sin, and yet how when we put our trust in Jesus, he makes us alive in him, filled with his spirit and given new life. And it's ultimately God's word that gives us life, because it's God's word that brings us to Jesus. It's God's word that doesn't just tell us about Jesus, but actually personally helps us to know him. Dan and I were in a seminar at college that Dan was leading on Friday. We were looking at John 17, and there are these brilliant words there that we read, that eternal life, real life, life to the full, is to know the only true God and Jesus Christ. And it's God's word that brings us to Jesus. So it's God's word that enables us to know him and to have life. So can you relate to the psalmist this morning? Could you have written verse 25? Can you say this morning, yeah, actually I am feeling down in the dust. I'm feeling broken and crushed. Do you feel like you've not got the strength to get up and keep going? Do you feel like you are melting away? Well, then here is what we need. We need God's words. We need him to fill our hearts with his words, so that our minds will be full with the wonderful things that he has done for us. We need his word because it's where we meet Jesus, and it's where we can have real life, eternal life. And yet, I don't know about you, but don't you find that when life is at its hardest as a Christian, that is when I am least likely to spend time in the Bible? It's when I feel least like wanting to get my Bible open and read it. And that's certainly my experience. When the heat is on, when I'm feeling weak and tired and down, I naturally move away from God's words. And yet, when I do that, I'm moving away from the very thing that I need, the only thing that can give me life and strength. And when I'm down in the dust, I need God's words. I need time alone with me and my Bible. I need things like this morning where we can get it open and have space to hear it and to receive it. But I also need other Christians around me. I need other Christians around me, yes, for the hug and the cup of tea, which is useful. But even more so, I need other Christians around me who will share God's word with me. Other Christians who will get alongside me and care for me and cry with me and pray God's promises with me. I need them to remind me of all the great things that God has done for me. Because when you've got your face down in the dust, it can be hard to look up and see. It can be hard to see what God has really done for us. And so we need those Christian friends who will just gently lift our heads and say, look what he's done. Look what he has done for us. In Hebrews 10 verse 25, it's a famous verse written for Christians who are feeling under pressure, of Christians who are feeling like they were melting away, and it says this: Do not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So maybe this morning you are not feeling down in the dust, but you can see someone who is, and you are thinking this morning, well, how do I help them? What do I do? What do I say? I think the psalmist would say, get alongside them. Care for them. Share their burden. Cry with them. Pray with them. And most of all, share God's word with them. It doesn't have to be a sermon or some in-depth Bible study. It could simply be one verse. One great verse to share with them. It could come from the famous words of Jesus, Matthew 11:28, many others, but these came to me as I was thinking about it this week. Jesus says to those of us who are weary and in the dust, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It'd be a great verse to share with someone who is struggling this morning. For those of us who are struggling, again, a great verse to take to heart ourselves. When we're down in the dust, we need God's word, because only that can give us life and strength in Jesus. And second, when we're down in the dust, we need God's grace. We need God's grace to set us free to run his way. And that's the rest of the psalm. Did you notice verse 29 just how realistic the psalmist is? He knows that life every day is a battle. At verse 29 he says, keep me from deceitful ways. Be gracious to me through your law. The psalmist knows that every day he faces a choice. Will I go the world's deceitful ways, or will I go God's way of truth? And that internal battle is often fiercest when we are down in the dust and life is throwing the worst at us. The psalmist knows that the enemy doesn't fight fair. He knows that the enemy doesn't wait for us to get back up on our feet before he throws the next load of abuse at us. The enemy is not like some upper-class English gentleman who fights fair, who waits for us to get back to our feet before continuing the fight. No, the enemy is like a rough and rude street fighter who kicks us when we are down. He'll use anything in our lives to try and lead us away from God's way. And the psalmist knows that. And that's why when he's down in the dust, look how he prays, verse 29. Keep me from deceitful ways. The Bible is clear, by nature all of us go the world's way. By nature we are powerless to go God's way. We like to think that we are good and moral and upright people, but the Bible says the truth is that on our own none of us choose to go God's way. The Bible says that if we say we have no sin, if we say that we always go God's way, well actually we are lying and the truth is not in us. The picture the Bible uses of each and every one of us is that we are spiritual corpses, dead in the dust, rotting away, spiritually speaking. And left on our own, we always go the world's deceitful ways. And so you see verse 29, what the psalmist prays? Be gracious to me through your law. We need God's grace. Left to ourselves, we will never go God's way unless God is gracious to us. We are spiritual corpses powerless to change. I mean, just think of the last time you saw a corpse doing anything for itself. The whole point of a dead body is it cannot do anything, and we cannot change ourselves. Like the psalmist, we need God to be gracious to us. But again, how? How will God be gracious to us? Well, again, look at verse 29. It is through his Bible, through his word. The psalmist says, be gracious to me through your law. He's talking about the Bible. God's word lights up God's way for us. It's like the lights that you see at an airport on a runway at night, lighting up the way. God's word lights up God's way. If God doesn't graciously give us his word, then we cannot know his way. We will be lost. We'll never go his way. But even if God has graciously given us life, even if we are Christians, as many of us are here this morning, we still have a massive choice every day. Will I go God's way or the world's way? It is a daily choice, even once we put our trust in Jesus. Even once we are a Christian with God's Spirit in us, we still have that choice day by day. I've still got to choose to go God's way. Just look at the psalmist in verses 30 to 32. I haven't necessarily spotted this till recently, but look at what he says. And look at how he says it. He says, I have chosen the way of truth. I have set my heart on your laws. I hold fast to your statutes. I run in the path of your commands. You see, he's choosing. He's making a conscious choice daily. Going God's way, again, staying at the airport, is not like those big, long travelators that you get in the airport taking you to your gate. You know what they're like? You just kind of hop on and then you just stand there and it glides down to the finish effortlessly. And people sometimes think that is what it's like in the Christian life, that I just hop on and then I'm there and it's easy and I never have to try, I never have to make a choice or anything like that. But that's not how God's grace works. God's grace gets us on, it gets us started in the Christian life, and God's grace keeps us going in the Christian life, and it will get us to the end, but we still have a part to play. We are still active. We still must put the effort in to actually walk God's way. And it's still the case when we are down in the dust. We've still got the choice to make every day. Even when we're down in the dust, we've still got to choose to go God's way rather than the world's deceitful ways. So it means this morning, for those of us who are Christians, some very simple but blunt questions. Am I choosing to go God's way? Have I been choosing that daily this last week? Am I consciously choosing it today? Am I going to choose to go God's way rather than the world's way tomorrow? And the day after, and the day after that? Are we running in the path of his commands, as he said? Are we turning to God daily? Are we trusting Jesus' death for us daily? Are we relying on the Spirit's strength daily? You see, choosing to go God's way matters because of verse 31. Because verse 31 tells us that the world's way leads to shame. That's why the world's ways are deceitful. The world's ways promise freedom. They promise life and enjoyment. But time and time again, the Bible says no, they lead to shame, to death. Shame when one day we stand before God as our judge. And our deeds are exposed and we are left in shame. Yet look at verse 32. Look at where God's ways lead. Verse 32, they lead to freedom. The psalmist says, I run in the path of your commands, for you have set my heart free. Again, the world lies and says, going God's way, living your life by the Bible, that is slavery, that is death. That is no life at all. But the reality is, actually, going God's way is true freedom. It is freedom. God's way doesn't limit our freedom, rather it sets us free. We are not fools to go God's way because it sets us free. And the reason God's way alone can set us free is because we were made by God to live for him and to live with him. So as we seek freedom, we can only find it in God and his ways. Instead of limiting our freedom and crushing us as the world lies, actually it sets us free. I think probably the reason I love this section so much is the progression we see from verse 25 to 32. Just please have a look down and see this with me, because it is so great to see and such an encouragement for those of us feeling run down this morning. Notice how the psalmist starts verse 25. He is laid down in the dust. He's got his face down in the dust. But look at how he finishes in verse 32. running in the freedom of God's ways. That is the promise for us this morning. From laid down in the dust to running free in God's ways. It comes again, verse 45. The psalmist can say in verse 45, I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought your precepts. I've gone your way. Again, you'll know the energy drink Red Bull, and they always have their adverts about how Red Bull gives you wings. And the message is simple, you know, it gives you wings, it gives you energy, it sets you free. Well, here is the psalmist's message to those of us down in the dust this morning. God's word gives you wings. It sets us free. If we're down in the dust this morning, if we're face down with no strength left, it is only God's word and God's grace that can truly lift us up and set us free. And that's because we're designed to go God's way and not the world's. And so whether we call ourselves Christians or not this morning, here is where true freedom is to be found. For real life and strength, the only real life and strength that can satisfy, the life and strength that we crave as human beings, well, here is where it's to be found, in God's word and God's grace. And that is what we need so that we too can be lifted up out of the dirt and run free in God's ways. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your psalms come to us. Whatever our experience, whatever our feelings at present. And so, Father, we want to pray for those of us this morning who are feeling crushed and weary, those of us feeling broken, down in the dust, melting away, overwhelmed with sorrow. Father, please give us your word. Be gracious to us. Put those Christian friends around us who will gently lift us up, who will remind us of the wonderful things that you have done for us in Jesus. And so, Father, please, by your words and your grace, lift us up out of the dirt. Set us free to run in your ways. That each of us, Father, may daily this week be making that choice to go your way, rather than the world's deceitful ways. And we pray these things for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.